2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 10. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. I think we stopped in the word patience. Patience is, it's the word abide, but it's got the word hypo in front of it, so it's unbelievable abiding. It's super abiding under any and all circumstances. And this is probably, you know, all of the scriptures that they're everywhere that talk about he that abides unto the end shall be saved. It's sort of there is this constancy implied in this word. It means that no matter what transpires, whether it be earthquakes or demons or plagues or any possible thing that can take place in time, you ignore it. You abide. You stay. And if we look at how this is used, we will see hopefully a mystery. So let's start in Luke 21. But let me list the ways or look at the ways in which you do not abide. And it's kind of sad, because just about anything can cause most people to not abide. Somebody might look at you wrongly. Somebody might not give you the response you think you deserve. You might have an ingrown toenail. All of the silly little things that are common to every person that has ever lived just cause you to go crazy. Cause you to leave the mystery of God. Or else believe that you're a king's kid and that shouldn't be happening to you. Now, much of it is caused by what psychologists and psychiatrists would call psychoses or neuroses, but that's not an excuse. We've seen here all of the years we've been here, the hundreds and maybe thousands of people that have come through here. And the causes for not abiding seem so silly. And the causes for each one of you here that you left in your mind, you fainted in your mind and didn't abide, the causes are endless. And so this assumes, when it uses this word, hupo meni, moni, it means that this is the extreme things that transpire that you remain under in. Anybody, what's going on?
I'm absorbing all of this. It's pretty. The word abide means to remain fixed in the reality, as opposed to being knocked off the post because of the glance or an inconsiderate word.
But this is one of the main things that the body does that you don't do by yourself.
Right.
It's just one of the main things.
that you're exhorted daily while it is still called today. But this thing is on me about a certain individual who his mentor, his favorite person in the world, is some psychiatrist or psychologist or something. And they told him that, this guy told him that because of the abuse that he had endured by his father, that he would never able to repent. And so that position justifies total and mind-bending egotism that is just so stupid. But it's based on this, you know, how your mind, Gary often talks about, he does it philosophically, but he talks about how, he's really thinking about his mind instantly takes even the doctrine and runs off with it as a means of self-realization. But what we normally do is it's a means of self-justification. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are abomination unto the Lord. They're not an abomination. They're abomination. And that's a totally different meaning. The abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel is when you see the evil one seated on the throne. Well, every time you look in the mirror and see yourself, you see the evil one seated on the throne. So every time you justify yourself for anything, it's abomination. And it's legion. In fact, many places teach you how to justify yourself in the name of God. So let's look at this. Luke 21, 19. 21, I think 19. Oh, I'm in Luke 22. No wonder it wasn't there. Let's start in verse 14. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. In other words, give no thought. It's constant. It's just you be instead of trying to be. You be. Some of you may have never even experienced this once. You may have never been. You've always trying to be. And the evidence of it is that you don't just say what's there. You consider it. So that's the first predicate of not abiding, is because you are careful for what you're saying. You consider it. You think about it, because that's what you've been taught your entire life.
Yeah, that's a no faith position. You think you have to prepare because God won't be there at that moment.
Yeah, can you imagine? I want you to imagine writing a sermon beforehand and then reading it for a church service, or reading prepared prayers that somebody else had written long.
That makes you mad.
Makes me insane. Because these are the leaders that are teaching you, by definition, to you know, these guys get up before Congress or their national prayer breakfast or whatever, and they've spent days, months, writing a prayer, and they read it, and it's dead. You've all been to churches, and you've heard a sermon where it just makes you're so bored, it's unbelievable. Maybe you're not. Maybe I just get so bored when they start that crap. The other thing that's crazy is when you see somebody talking who what they're saying hasn't been worked out in them, I mean, if anybody with the discernment of a gnat knows they're full of shit. So they're not abiding because they're preparing. And you're not abiding if you consider or meditate on what you're going to say. You think about, well, am I going to anger somebody if I say this? I'm going to offend some poor little bitch. All right. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts not to meditate before you shall answer. Chapter 21, verse 14, the book of Luke. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now that's kind of an important thing. Because it's the predicate of abandoning. It's a predicate of this patience. You've left patience the minute you consider. Or make it gel.
One of my favorites.
Hmm?
One of my
favorites. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall lay cause to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Why in the world would anyone become a believer if this is the, you shall be hated of all men?
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't see this in the beginning.
You may not have accepted it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people want to go right to 18 and forget all that rest and then before it.
Yeah.
But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Yeah, can you feel what that means? You own your soul. You own whatever condition you're in. You own it. And you don't try consistently to try to get out of it. You, in patience, you own your soul. Do you understand what that means? Every aspect of you, you don't try to change. You're not gadding about, oh, I should change this and I should do that. That's God's business. You own your soul in patience. That's a biggie.
Yeah, that's like saying, in emptiness, you're full. You have everything.
Well, but it's also you own who you are without apology. Without gadding about to try to change you or others. So it's interesting in this section. It's do not meditate in your soul about what you're going to answer or say.
Where did they put that in?
Where did they put that anchor?
When was that added?
You never saw that before?
Their thought for what you're going to say. You read that one before.
All right, let's go to Romans 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. If you knew nothing else but that, you might come to some understanding of life. Oh, no, not me. I don't do the same thing that I'm condemning that other. I'm pointing my finger at that other person.
That's how you know what you're doing.
I always try and remember that in my conversation with people.
How's that going for you?
You could be tweaked.
You remember, you're my roommate.
You could be tweaked.
You're such an ass. All right. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his God of goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now that used to scare the crap out of me. Because all of the stuff and everything I escaped and didn't get put in prison for, now, boom, here I am. But then I understood, because I've already received because I am dead. I've already received the death penalty, if you will. Amen? You're doing it again, Gary. You're mulling.
We talked about this last night, that nobody escapes that death.
Nobody has already now escaped it. They just don't know it. They think they're going and doing and thinking and being.
Zombies. Yeah, it's all smoke.
All smoke and mirrors.
Something on 60 Minutes last weekend, and the story was on, you know, medical care, but they were interviewing a doctor who deals with a lot of end-of-life situations. And when all was said and done, he looked straight into the camera and he said, "We deny death, and by denying death, we are delusional."
Amen.
And that comes from faith, too, because we've died on the cross with Christ, but yet we've denied that we've died.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a predicate. That's a predicate for everything we do, is we think we have life. We think Jesus is going to help us with our life. We think Jesus is going to fix us, or he's going to do this or that. No. His only role is giving dead men life, his life, not yours. All right. Now this is we said that to get to this point. To them who by patient continuance in well doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Now, so that word patient there is it's one word. Patient continuance is one word, it's hypomone. It's the same word that's just translated patience. So you got the picture here? We've got to go to one more. Romans 5. This is all about, Romans 4 is all about Abraham being the perfect Christian. He is the model of faith. Okay, then, verse verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, it can only be that he was raised again in us, otherwise we would never be justified. You understand that? His place of his resurrection is in you. Otherwise, justification and everything would just be a philosophy that's going to happen someday. And you can keep your own way of being now. All right. That's not what we're talking about. Therefore, being justified by faith, and faith alone, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that peace is continuous. It's never not there. It's only you that leave it. It doesn't leave you. So if you're ever not in peace, it doesn't have anything to do with any circumstance, any person, any situation, any place. If you're not in peace, you have left. You got it? Doesn't matter who's going, who's saying, who's doing what. Doesn't matter how much it hurts. It doesn't matter how much you feel, oh, I'm such a victim, I'm so poor me. What?
I shouldn't be in peace. I'm so bad. I should not deserve this grace.
So you know, no, that's not the way it's. That's what your words might be, but what you're really saying is, I am so special that the sacrifice of the Son of God wasn't enough for me.
Therefore, I can't accept this peace.
All right. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore, not only so, we glory in tribulations. This is the word for tribulations here, remember, is thlispis. And it's the act of, and really what it is, it's the act of squeezing everything in time and space, including you, through a hole that's smaller than your eye can see. That's the squeezing. It's thlispis, so that this is what it does. Let's read it. And we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You cannot have patience without tribulation. All right? And patience, experience. Now, what is experience? It's tested integrity. Because you have stayed in this place of super abiding no matter what the tribulation was. And you've not allowed this idiotic thing you call your mind and your emotions to have any sway with you. They can't seduce you anytime they want to. Amen? You look like you're just coming in from the North Pole. Do you have your gloves on too? All right. You got them in your pocket?
Yep.
All right. And patience, experience, tested integrity, and experience is the hope, provides the hope, because it's the evidence to you that Jesus Christ is in you. Amen? So what happens? We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All right? Got it? So don't belittle or you know, worry about whether or not you have things you don't like. All right. That's enough from patience. There's a whole bunch more. If you want to read it, it's Hebrews 12:12, 2 Corinthians 6:4, Hebrews 12:1. Well, let's go to Hebrews 12. That's an important one.
I want to say there's a kind of a patience that's man-centered patience or a me-too patience where you have your goal attached to it. Like, I'll be patient, and then I'll achieve my goal.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12.
But that can't stand the afflictions here.
Yeah, it's different from what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Totally.
By a total motion.
All right. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are... You remember everything... We got time. This is just a summary of faith stuff. Said, and others, in verse 36 of 11, others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us could not be made perfect. Now that's what we also have to see within us, within the group. I can't be made perfect without you. Amen?
Is that better thing, the bride?
What?
I mean, I'm looking at 39. They
God having provided some better thing for us?
Yeah, it's like they obtained a good report through faith, yet didn't receive the promise.
Because the promise is to the bride.
Yeah.
That's what God. That's the purpose of God is a bride.
So they had him, but him alone without the bride is incomplete.
Right, and they couldn't be made complete without us, yeah. And we can't be made complete without them. All right. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and this sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we run by sitting down. You understand that? We gain by losing. We live by dying. We become rich by being totally empty and poor. Everything about the mystery of God is the opposite from our minds. Okay?
Therefore, why would you trust your mind?
That's right. Look, blah, 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 blah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for, or instead of, the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Instead of the joy that was before him at the Mount of Transfiguration, he left that. Remember that? This incredible thing. Who did he have? He had Moses and Elijah and Jesus standing, and they were seen because God permitted the curtain of time to open. They were standing in eternity. And they talked only of his death, which was to come in Jerusalem. That's pretty big. But he experienced the joy. He was transfigured the moment, time, and space. He had fulfilled all law of physics, all law of chemistry, all law of everything. And he was transfigured. Now that's the only job. Your only goal in life, your only purpose in being is to be transfigured. Understand that?
And that takes place when you're totally identified with Him.
All right. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint or quit in your mind. That's the battlefield. Your mind is the battlefield. You can have the appearance of staying, but your mind is still the mind of a Gentile. So you're abiding with the mind of a Gentile, and that's two contradictory terms. You can't do it. You're just hanging around waiting for something, as Wade said earlier. You're hanging around waiting for something to happen, waiting for some goal you have. All right. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And that's a huge one. We don't have time to talk about it. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint or when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God is dealing with you as with legitimate children.
And what is the scourging?
Anything at once. Something you really don't like.
Whipping?
Something you really don't like. The scourging for you is neuropathy. Okay?
What's neuropathy?
I thought you was going to say discipline.
If you endure, the discipline is in endure the chastening. Without seeking ways of escaping it all the time. Mm-hmm. If you endure chastening, God's dealing with you as with sons, or legitimate children. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have any, it means you quit in your mind. So you're without chastening. You haven't endured. You understand that?
Chastening is for us to see something.
What?
The chastening is for us to see something, you know, because, you know, we're being chastised, and then if we don't...
What did we just say?
What it's for, why?
We glory in affliction.
Right.
Because affliction worketh patience. Mm-hmm. Patience, experience. Mm-hmm. Experience, hope. So that's all that is transpiring in order that you would see Him and know that His resurrection is within you. You can't find this out except by a philosophy without enduring the chastisement, without enduring, staying under, not leaving in your mind. That's where the battlefield is. Amen? All righty. Anybody have anything else? Take a big gun.